From our dusty cellars, finding that the phrase walking on eggshells makes no sense when you think about how easy they are to walk on, it's the final countdown.
If you don't care about the eggshells, it's fine.
Like, there's no way to walk on them without breaking them. Once you've accepted that, it's just grand.
And there's probably more uses for crushed up eggshells than there are, like, only partially crushed up eggshells.
Granted, it's not good. You're not in a good place if you're constantly walking on eggshells, but it doesn't mean what people mean when they say it.
That's Is walking true. On eggshells like walking on Lego? Like, if you walked on eggshells in your bare feet, would that be enjoyable or painful?
I can't imagine it would be painful unless you were really unfortunate. Like, you caught it just at the right... I mean, they're eggs. They break all the time. I mean, they just break really easily.
Like, you can squish it with your hand and it'll just break. And feet are stronger than hands. It's science.
It is inaccurate. So, well, no, you're right. It is. It depends what you mean by strong. I mean, legs are stronger than arms.
I feel like feet skin is stronger than hand skin.
Okay, sorry. In that sense, yes, maybe.
That feels right. But now that I think about it, hands do a lot more touching of, you know. All feet touches socks.
Yeah, feet skin should be tougher than hand skin. And I think in the natural environment,
we have created second feet skin in socks and shoes, which are tougher than hands.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, actually, we're assuming that the person who's trying to walk on these eggshells to begin with is barefoot. And that's a huge assumption that we've just jumped to.
Yeah.
I'm Manus Cronin, joining us this week, as always, a true American patriot who has read the Bill of Rights. Gavin Carberry.
Oh, yeah.
A lover of freedom who will staunchly defend the White House. Jack Toner. And an independent spirit who went to a 4th of July party and blew everyone there. James Belfast.
Seems like you're a week late on your Thanksgiving, or 2 weeks late on your Thanksgiving themed intros, man.
I'm infinitely late. I didn't put two and two together on those things. So
I read white and blew everyone there. It's like accidentally
nearly matching clothes. It's like, oh, he did navy and black. Like, whereas if you just don't match, it's better.
Oh, and speaking of devil.
Oh, he is here. Okay.
Look who decided to join literally as soon as his name was mentioned.
Do you want to hear all the intros again?
Good job, no.
Would the listeners like to hear them again, I guess is the question.
No, probably not. It just you can hear them when you re-listen. Your Barry's got severely razzed though. James, it was more a function of you being generally third in the intros than anything specific to you, except that it does reference something that you definitely did. So I don't know.
It can be accurate and razzed.
Thing I did. I deserve it for that thing I did.
This note in the intros now makes no sense. Team Dressing Gown is in the midst of an injury crisis with only one first team regular available for selection. But now actually James is here. So the entire first two is now.
I see you've even brought Jack in on loan.
Yeah, we brought in Jack.
Covering for my absence.
Jack is the Odeon Ighalo of Team Dressing Gown at the moment. Yeah.
My real problem is that I only put this on for the podcast and I'm already 5 minutes in, totally converted. But I have a work call after this.
Yeah.
And
be
I'm
so
certainly
tough.
Gonna have to take it off and it's gonna kill me.
I mean, it's a very pale white dressing gown and your wall is kind of pale colored as well. There's no chance that the sort of zoom background
if I sit far back enough,
thing, but pick that up as well. But it's just be a floating head looking very smart.
And they might think it's a lab coat.
They might think it's a lab coat, yeah.
Hi,
just
Dr.
Doing some science, guys.
Pure unadulterated science. We do have an agenda this week. I'm going to say what it is. Gavin has something for that agenda. He went running in a pair of tights, which we're fine with. It's the 21st century, and frankly, we should have been fine with in the 20th century too. But we're going to hear about that.
And the weird thing is, they were fine about it in the 18th century.
There was a really brief, fun-friendly window. in which it, for some reason, made you gay, and gay was bad to wear tights. It had to do both of those at the same time, because who could possibly care if it made you gay now? There was probably a second part to that. The nut signal was flashed, and the nut did respond. It is, in fact, to my detriment that we decided to put that signal on my roof. Looking back, really, we should have put it on someone's flat roof.
Because he the nutmobile is really, like, he just, like, tears up your roof when he drives across.
Yes, it is. It was, and it was not like we didn't know that was in the snag list. What are you going to do? He does say, and quote, DDH holds the closely contested record for something going from technical brewing term to marketing nonsense in the shortest possible time.
Wow.
It's a standard extension to IPA now, and about as useful to the consumer in describing the beer. Which I guess we should have guessed.
Yeah. So wait, it was a technical brewing term. Like a technical brewing term that like had any impact on taste, like opacity, anything like that, or just like a process that they decided to be like, yeah, it's toasted, you know?
Yeah, it sounds...
First episode of Mad Men style.
That's what I suspect it was. I don't know. He doesn't actually have, despite his many abilities, the ability to predict the secondary questions we're going to ask him in advance for this episode. So we'll have to wait till next week. He lacked
insight in that way.
And just, do you want to waste your one flash of the nut signal? Again, we should maybe change the terminology around that flash of the nut, maybe not something we want in there. Do you want to waste it on a follow-up to that, or will something else come up throughout this episode? Who knows? I'd like you to take a look. Before we get into the agenda, let's just get introduced to the beers. Most of you seem to have something, so go and do that.
Yeah, we are drinking the 8 Degrees Fort of the Fianna. It's a Belgian IPA. It's clocking in at 5.4. Hello, work call after this being more crack.
It's part of their Monroe series. I think we've had something on from theirs before. Was it Glen of Amal?
Yeah,
Amal. That's it. Sorry. Ben Clifford originally put us onto this. It's a series named after different hills in different mountains in Ireland. Almost all of them in Kerry. And they're all different styles. Some of them are a bigger success than others. And I think Glen of Amal kind of fell somewhere in the middle. Ben said he didn't like it, but I think for me, I think that maybe influenced our thing because it was just fine, you know? So I'm interested to try this and see how it gets on.
Yeah, good point. Has anybody had a sip? James, do you have the same one? I don't know.
I do.
I don't know why you wouldn't. Have you had a go of it?
Not quite yet.
What's it nosing like, anyone? Nosing.
I weirdly don't have a sense of smell or taste, and I've got this weird headache.
Ah, yeah, I know what that is. It goes running in tights, if you know what I mean.
I don't think it has much of an aroma.
Yeah, that's particularly distinctive.
Well, let me tell you about this Fanta Wildberry. It is tart.
What berries are in it, man?
It is really not proud of whatever berries are in it. It's prouder of the acidity regulator than it is of the... Okay, here we are. Apple, blackberry... Apple's not a berry. Blackberry and raspberry. And really...
Manus, this is made by Fanta. Are any of those berries really wild?
I doubt that
they have like wild berry pickers going through Germany.
I don't know. It really, really tastes like actual blackberries and raspberries. It's remarkable. I'm amazed.
Oh. Huh.
Now, it also tastes like whatever artificial sweetener they have in it. They've gone with this being a no added sugar drink, and I think it suffers for it. Like, if they just did the juice part, but they haven't just done that, they've stuck in all the sweeteners that they like to put in, and that's kind of the overriding thing. Generally speaking, no added sugar drinks have gotten way better over the years. I mean, you remember what they used to be like.
Yeah, like, what is the reason for that? Is this, have they changed the sweetener? Because I remember, was it aspartame was the general sweetener that gave things kind of a Diet Coke-y taste?
Aspartame, yeah. And I think, and that's fine for Diet Coke. I think you want Diet Coke to taste like that, but you don't want everything else to taste like that. I don't know, because I think they've got better at putting in, even if it's not a zero sugar drink, putting in stuff like stevia sugar and like just...
The whole non-sugar industry has really improved.
Yeah. Now, I do have to say, the soda industry, though, in terms of fanciness for what I'm looking for these shows, has gone off the shallow end, if you will. The peak for fancy, pretentious soda was about 2007.
Yeah, the Joneses sodas.
Yeah, it was just everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't. Yeah,
but everything kind of, but with Jones's soda and all of that, like, Jones's soda, while expensive and difficult to get, did just taste like sugar or some sort of sherbet equivalent. Whereas your fancy drinks now, your kind of San Pellegrinos,
yeah,
have a bit more to them, maybe, or maybe I've just bought into the branding. Maybe that foil on the top has gotten to
the top. Is 100%. It's actually just Fanta with foil on top. If you peel off the
label. And I buy it every time.
Yeah.
I mean, wasn't Fanta just, they made it because they couldn't get the stuff that was for Coke, so they just were like, we'll put our compostables into a drink and there we go. What does anyone who's actually filled out their application form think of the beer that you're drinking as opposed to this wild berry?
I think we've used this description before. It's a very beery beer.
Yeah.
And so the way I think, the best way I can describe it is, this is like your 30th beer ever. You know, you've had a few, you've gotten over that initial, I don't like beer, but I'm forcing it down taste. You've started to appreciate the taste a little, but you still don't love it. And that's what this tastes like.
I mean, that is a useless description, but I completely get it.
I think it's one of the best descriptions of a beer I've ever heard. Yeah. This is your 30th beer ever. Yeah, it is.
But despite being like a Belgian IPA, and you're like imagining this to, like, you're surprised by how beery it is. It kind of tastes and looks a little bit just like a lager. Like the kind of hops or the kind of bitter tones that you get with hop, or the fruity thing that you get with hops, don't seem to be at the forefront, really. It seems more, I don't know, it seems more normal or something.
Yeah. Oh, it is actually, it is very lagery. Which I don't mind, actually, because, you know, I had a quick glance at the can and it was promising me banana flavors, which, you know, I think we all know how that would have gone, but nope, there's none of that. There's none of the cloves or the spice or anything. It is like, you want to say, if someone handed you this and said, oh, this is just a Heineken or something, you'd believe them.
Yeah.
They're sometimes when they're putting out a big series of stuff like that, some of them are going to be like that, aren't they? Where it's like, oh, bollocks, we're deadline due, we got to get one out.
Derek, where are the hops? I put them all into the other one.
This was the plot of Brews Brothers, now that I think of it. Except for some reason they had to pee in the beer. I can't quite remember. I don't know why I think that show was bad. That makes it sound good.
Was that actually the plot? They had to pee in the beer?
Yeah, that was the first episode.
Yeah, my complaint was that was...
I didn't watch any others, but I saw episode one, and that is what happens.
That wasn't the plot of all... That should have been the whole series.
Well, it might. As far as I'm aware, it might be.
I would have kept watching if it was. I can't remember what else happened, but they tried to... I wonder, did that suffer from, like, reverse Tiger Kinging? In that, like, it was actually terrible and suffered for how closely people watched it because it was at, like, lockdown time.
It couldn't just go under the radar.
Couldn't just go along, like, The Ranch, for example.
What's The Ranch?
It's actually Kutcher's vehicle. But yeah, but exactly. But if you sat down to watch The Ranch with like, a week to binge The Ranch, I mean, you might judge it a bit more harshly. And frankly, the presence of Danny Masterson in it should lead you to judge it a little harshly.
Oh, yeah. How long ago was this?
Once they fired him, once they found out what he did, in fairness.
Right.
And like, funny enough, I didn't stop watching it when I found out what he did, but I did stop watching it like when it got to the part where they found out what, I don't know.
Are you like, without Johnny Masterson, The Ranch really doesn't hold up once?
No, I kind of forgot it had happened. And then it was like, then they kill him off. And I was like, oh yeah, they had to kill him off because of that stuff he did. And then once you know that, you can't really go back to it, even though it's no worse or no better. It's like going back to watch Chris Benoit matches. It's like,
when he's hitting him, he's jumping off the thing head first again. Like,
he's kind of killing his family right in front of your very eyes.
Yeah.
That man's head can't take any more of a beating.
Oh, he's right. Has anyone like gone back and watched a Kevin Spacey film in the last couple of years?
No. I have not.
That's the no of someone who's like, and I do not plan to.
Yeah, and I don't, I used to absolutely love Kevin Spacey. And then even pre him getting Me Too'd, I just went off him for some reason. I can't remember why. I don't know why. Like, I think he's the kind of thing where like, teenager who's really into film like watches like K-Pax and is like, this is the best film ever. Like, I don't know, I just kind of went off Kevin Spacey, and then when he was cancelled I was like, yeah, all right, you know what, that's fine by me. I don't need Kevin Spacey.
I think what did it was that there was enough shit seasons of
House of Cards
with him in it that like I weaned myself off. Like, the first season or two, House of Cards was like, wow!
Yeah, yeah.
And then, funny enough, that happens with the original, too. There's, like, one good season and then two completely forgettable seasons of it. And to the point that originally I just thought there was one season, and then you try and watch it, and like, oh, I don't need to see this anymore. He's already in the first one, he pushes her off of Parliament or something instead of pushing her in front of a train. But at a certain point, once that happens... Interestingly, there's a bat nut.
What?
Nothing to do with the beer nut. Nothing to do with me. Just when you Twitter search nut signal to find the nut signal.
And it is the animal or like the wooden sporting implement?
I think it's Batman, actually.
Yeah. Oh.
I'm not finding out any more about him because he's impinging on the nut signal.
Did he license the nut brand?
Oh yeah, and interesting, who owns it? I mean, is this like Michael Jackson owning the Beatles music, or does the nut himself retain ownership? Not wasting a nut signal on this one, John. That's not a serious one. We may have an actual beer question that we need you for.
And much like the Michael Jackson case, where is John Merrick's skeleton in all of this? Does the beer nut have it, or does the bat nut have it?
Yeah, he's been wearing it for the past 40 years. Right? Did you look at the picture of Brian McFadden I put into the group?
I did.
No, and thank God you said it's a picture of Brian McFadden so I can look at it right fucking now. Oh, wow.
He's a doughy boy.
That just needs to tell you, that, and that was like relatively peak Brian McFadden. That's how easy it was to be a heartthrob in 2003.
Yeah, Brian McFadden was the good-looking one in Westlife, wasn't he?
I mean, he objectively wasn't, but yeah, he was. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
He was the media-approved good-looking one, the one most likely to break out.
And another
bit of a, to do some audience engagement. Thanks for the Spotify Wrapped email we got.
Oh, who was that?
Yes, that was brilliant. Great to hear.
Tomas Flynn sent us a screenshot of his Spotify Wrapped. Apparently, his top podcast was The Final Countdown, and he listened to 64 episodes this year.
Love it.
Followed that up with the comment, Jesus.
In fairness.
Do we know him in real life, or is that like an out in the wild listener?
It might be an out in the wild listener. Although if we know him, I'm so sorry.
Well, look, the best thing about it was listening to 64 episodes means that there was some catching up done as well. And that's something I can really get behind. More than 52 in a year is a level of professionalism we can only begin to aspire to.
Yeah, dude. I think now that he's fully in the Heart of Darkness, he might be able to kind of go back to episode one and really appreciate those deep cuts.
Yeah. Our difficult second album of episode 80 onward.
All that pro-Hitler stuff is going to come across as a bit strange. And
it was a different time back
that's
then.
That's not even a joke. Just a lot of pro-Hitler stuff.
It was supposed to be a joke. It was supposed to be obviously a joke.
It was a different time back then.
I thought we were moving away from people being seriously pro-Hitler, and however wrong I was.
You thought that would just like fade into the background. There wouldn't be a kind of groundswell of fascism.
It's like you think
in retrospect, it looked like we caused it, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe we did, but you'd think they would have heard something bad about it by now, you know. So wasn't that Dylan Moran's joke about heroin? Like, I have limited sympathy for people who get fucked up on heroin, because you think by now they'd have heard something bad about it. Again, very sorry if I do know you. Do be careful not to fall into the trap, which is really easy to fall into at the moment, which is if you're listening to a lot of a podcast, and particularly now where you may be working from home and not seeing very many people, of thinking, kind of getting into that mode and thinking, oh yeah, this is how people talk.
And then, who have you been getting into that with, Manus?
Well, I actually didn't have anyone specifically in mind there, although I do know it happens to me if I spend a lot of time even with people in real life, I start picking up their voice and stuff and say, and again, that's normally fine. But if you're binge listening to this, you're going to come out with some stuff, potentially. you'll say something like, oh yeah, well, of course, as sexy as they are dishonest, those children. And you'll say it like expecting everyone else to think, oh yes, that reference to that joke. No, they won't understand. Nope. It's not popular enough for people to get your reference.
And it was nice to get one good Spotify Wrapped as opposed to the spam of it you get on social media of people listing their uninteresting song choices for the year.
Well, I want to know, does anyone have anything interesting on their own Spotify? Does anyone have anything embarrassing? Well,
I think the problem for me is I basically just use Spotify for podcasts. So the music bit's always like just really random. It's like, this is your top song of 2020. The song you listen to again and again that got you through the year. Yeah. You listen to it four times. I think it was something about like Divine Comedy or something. It's like, I don't even remember listening to that this year, but I think it was back in January before we all locked down.
They are a very James band.
I think it's just a bloke.
The band who did the cricket spin-off of James.
I went through a real Divine Comedy phase. Not a phase. I still really like the Divine Comedy, but I just got really into them about a year and a half ago. And I was like, man, the Divine Comedy are fucking class.
Can
we clear this up? Is it a them or is it just Neil Hannon?
I think he's the only permanent one. And then he gets other people in.
Like we've talked about the Divine Comedy before. We said that they're the funniest non-joke band, or the most musically talented joke band.
That's very true. That's actually too accurate. I don't think we said that. I think you talked about that with your other friends.
Don't you be bringing high quality pub banter in here, Gavin?
Like, I think that almost stopped me getting into them at first in a way, because I put on their song thinking it was going to be like a full comedy song, and it's like, this isn't that funny.
It's just a bit whimsical.
The music's good, though. It's a good song, but it's not funny. And it took me a little bit of time to realise it's not actually meant to be like full-on joke songs.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you go into it like that, yeah, then you can appreciate the little turns of phrase and stuff where it's like, oh, okay.
My top listened to artist was the live, the original Broadway cast of Hamilton, because, and I think that a musical really skews your numbers. You're going to listen to it all in one go.
Yes, you are.
It's 3 hours long. And like, I've listened to it maybe kind of three times, and there's no other artist that I've listened to 9 hours of their music. That's like listening to, you know, a modern album is like 45 minutes.
Yeah, it's the same with like an audiobook. If you listen to one of them, and then that's like top of your playlist for like the next few months.
I saved my top 100 most listened to songs in my playlist. And let me tell you, it's been an absolute delight listening back to all the bops that I've listened to throughout the year.
A lot of bops. My top artist was, by a long stretch, Dua Lipa. Mm. And every song from that album was in the top 100, and it's been great to revisit most of them.
Yeah.
It's just that. A lot of Miley.
A lot of Miley. I saw a lot of Taylor Swift in people's in people's thing. Great album this year. You know, all the main pop people have put out their stuff. That's great.
Here's a fun one. Fountains of Wayne was my number 3 artist this year.
Your man died. You did a recap.
No.
What?
No, I just got really into that one album.
That was apropos of nothing.
Just got really into that one album. Listen to it a lot of times. And I don't regret it. And you know what? Everyone always thinks that they're just the Stacey's Mom people, but Stacey's Mom isn't even the best song on that album.
And if you listen to it, I would argue they didn't really write Stacey's Mom.
This sounds like a conspiracy theory.
No, there's a song by a band called either Cars or The Cars. They're quite well thought of, I believe. Yeah. And it's just Stacey's Mom with different lyrics, and of course written 20 years before. I don't even think Adam Schlesinger is like shy about it. I think he's a big, I think it was a pastiche or an homage or something.
What's the song by The Cars called?
I'm gonna have to Google it.
On a related note, I only bring it up because it's so relevant. A few days ago, I got linked to something. It was a cover of Stacey's Mom, but it was Genghis Khan has got it going on, and it was excellent.
Who did it? Just some random YouTube?
Just some random guy, yeah.
Fucking class.
Just What I Needed by The Cars.
There you go. Yeah, and it's very...
Oh, they actually asked some of the people from The Cars to be in the music video. They were like, it was more of a like sample slash tribute than a straight up thievery.
Yeah, I did have something in the back of my mind that suggested it wasn't that he like was trying to pass it off. And actually, when you listen to them, he couldn't try to. And that only came up. I only copped that when I was Stacey Mom. It's on my Spotify gym playlist. And then that other song got recommended to me, and I listened to it, and I was like, this is the same.
But it's good that they like acknowledged that it was a pastiche, and it was done with the permission and all of that. Not like
permission might be a stretch.
permission might be a stretch, but like at least acknowledgement. Not like fucking Kanye West with Blame Game, or what's his name, Robin Thicke and Pharrell with Blurred Lines, just like completely ripping off another song.
A specific song? My understanding was that they were accused of, and not convicted of, but whatever the term is when it's a civil thing, of sort of ripping off the style of Marvin Gaye without.
No, there's definitely a specific song.
Oh, there is a specific one, is there?
Yeah. And if you listen to it, you're like,
is it moving something? As soon as I see the thing.
If you listen to the drums.
What's going on? No, not what's going on. Not Let's Get It On. What is it?
Fuck's sake. What's happening?
Interestingly, I remember as a young man thinking it was very funny to go into Golden Discs and place the George Strait albums beside the Marvin Gaye albums.
Paris Manus. How young were you when you did this?
20.
12, 13 maybe. Whenever it was peak, it's funny because that one says straight and that one says gay. So maybe 23. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't even Golden Discs. I think it was Advanced Vision in Rap Minds. Now that I think of it.
Got to Give It Up is the Marvin Gaye song.
Well, then there you go.
Yeah
did he?
I've just stuck out a random kind of Motown playlist at times, and Got to Give It Up has come on, and I've been like, oh, it's Blurred Lines, and then Marvin Gaye starts singing. I'm like, oh no, wait, yeah, this is the one they stole.
And there's a lot of sameness in a lot of the Motown songs anyway.
Yeah,
I think they're just produced a certain way. I don't know anything beyond that. I'm not good enough at music to tell you what the similarities are.
What did you have for the agenda that wasn't Men in Tights over here?
A very quick note. I listened back to our baseball segment from last week. To anyone who could possibly care, no. Don't none of the numbers or dates were right. I mean, I can't remember.
or names or ideas.
And they were all basketball players.
Yeah. if a thing happened, it did happen. The broad stuff was basically right. But like I was just like the dates and numbers might be right, but it is a pure fluke. When I was listening back, I could hear it in my voice. I was just throwing in filler. I didn't know the dates and I didn't know the numbers. So if I said a fence was 250 feet, throw that out. That may or may not be true.
Manus, you said it with such confidence. It was brilliant.
I don't know. It was just like, there's a weird thing that happens as well mentally where it's like, I'll get it in post. What will I get in post? What?
Am I going to go in and re-record my own voice saying this?
I'm going to do ADR? Like, Jesus Christ. Anyway, that's most people probably.
Manus, if we did any post work, this podcast would not have so many horrible things said in it.
Yeah, it would be the shortest podcast in existence, but it would be work safe. We learned a thing or two about labeling our podcast not safe for work from labeling our show for 12s and up 1 year.
Yeah, because we also were the only show that was 12s and up that was on past 10 o'clock.
Yeah. And to be fair, the 12-year-olds loved it.
The 12-year-olds, because we weren't kind of clever enough for people who like would be like, ah, yes, very, very good. Ah, post 10 o'clock show. But we were crude enough for 12-year-olds.
Yeah, we were. I found that a couple of times. Like one time I was brought in to do a gig for the Access program students.
Yeah.
Mm. Like they're like 16. The exact age for thinking I'm great. Like it was the best received I've ever been, apart from, of course, the people who booked me for the gig. It was probably second only to, I did a gig in Gonzaga. It wasn't quite a school assembly, but it was some sort of musical performance and it was all school children. And they shat the bed, loved it. And I was never, ever asked back. So I don't know what we've learned there, but it's something. Zagapalooza, that's what it was. It was their battle of the bands.
Excellent. Brilliant. Excellent. Yeah. Oh, it's such a shame that like the audience to whom you would be the biggest success, you just can't market yourself towards.
Unless you're WWF.
All over it.
WWF did that. They just said they weren't doing it. They got around it by saying they weren't. It's why broadcast is excellent for it. Like the most small children ever to watch that product was during the height of the Sable getting her tits out during the Attitude era, like just that horrific, like both racist and sexually overt, the racism becoming worse over time than the sexual overtness of Takemichinoku chopping off Alvinus's penis with a samurai sword.
Was it because he was like jealous?
I can't remember that he was jealous or not, and I can't remember who the baby face was, but there was one.
Someone was the good guy in that situation.
Choppy choppy or pee pee comes to mind.
Oh wow.
I was wondering, okay, that my question was, where did the racism come in?
WWF sort of still, well, WWE kind of tends to have to be talked out of booking and portraying Asian characters as being children. As just being childlike, and you know, because they might have broken English, therefore that must be the level of comprehension in their head. So that's
right.
Right.
They have an awful habit of doing that. I think they probably do it less recently, but they certainly used to just go for it.
Yeah. Oh God. And also, like, the money in WWE is so good, and like wrestling is so big in Japan, that there's probably people who are willing to kind of degrade themselves, or I don't know, or maybe just,
I think,
like,
when you're in that environment, that,
listen, fuck yeah. It, it's a paycheck to me, like, whatever.
I think when you're in that environment, you're like, this isn't as bad, you know what? I think ultimately you find the person who's cool with it.
Oh, I think it would. I think it would probably bother the wrestler themselves far less, because again, yeah, they
pretend to beat up each other.
It's there's a kind of scummy carniness to it anyway. And if there's money in it, or if they get, you know, I would say it's probably more problemsome for if you're just watching it and it get, you know, I don't.
Like an Asian American fan of WWE seeing all Asians portrayed in that way, being like, "Cool, yeah, this feels like it's for me and not some fucking redneck," you know?
Yeah, you know. Anyway, I don't know. Gavin, you started running in tights.
Yeah. So I ran on Sunday morning. It was -1 degrees. I think it was supposed to feel like less than that. And I just ran in my regular gear. I was like, socks, I pulled them up pretty high. In my shorts, I had a zip top so that I wasn't like exposed on the front. And I honestly, they say you never regret a run. And I regretted this one instantly. It was painful and like not enjoyable. And also I was so cold that I tried to speed up to like heat myself up, and then I was like, oh no, going through the air quicker is worse. So I'll just like
get the wind chill on your knees.
Yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. So I went back. I got back after my run, and I ordered running tights. Is anyone here a fan of running tights?
Gavin, yes.
Oh, team running tights. Let's go.
Running tights. When I started wrestling, I always trained in... I started running and I was like, it's going to be freezing. I'll get some tights. I was very self-conscious of them. But then I started like wearing them wrestling, and I always wear running tights under my gear.
Yeah.
Very close.
And I ran today in the tights, and they... Like, obviously they work. Like, there's a reason people wear them. And they're great. They're just make everything easier.
My question, Gavin, is did you wear shorts over the running tights?
I did. Yes, 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 yes. Because, and because shorts over tights is such a good look.
It's a strong look.
I felt like I was on the catwalk. I was looking good. And I was running. The catwalk? Like,
yeah.
Sorry?
On the catwalk?
Yeah.
You're doing your little turn on the catwalk?
Yeah, I did my little turn on the catwalk.
That's pretty great. So are you converted now? Are you going to get into like various different designs of running tights? Is that the buzz?
No, I think I'm happy with one. And how often do you need to wash running tights?
Oh, never. Never. You don't ever need
Thank
to
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. I have a pair of compression shorts that I wear, and they have probably never been washed.
But that's where all the problems happen.
Get those compression shorts right now and give them a smell.
Oh, I'm certain they stink, but like, you know, No, they do. They get washed every couple of weeks, but like,
it's not like underwear. It's not underwear or socks.
They go on over your underwear.
The underwear is taken off to the beating on that one. Yeah.
They don't.
How much do your legs sweat? Probably not at all, I assume.
I mean, you don't have to
definitely
wear
loads.
You don't. People don't. It's not the kind of horrible, like, your body produces different types of sweat, and most of the bad stuff comes from your armpits and your arse. There's lots of what I suppose would be insensible sweat that just kind of comes all the time, and it doesn't really smell like anything. It's just kind of watery and anything. That's why you don't really need to wash jeans. You need to spot clean them and the like.
But, yeah. Mm.
For the most part, jeans. The worst smell producing area is covered by your underpants. You know,
and you wash those every day.
And you wash those most weeks.
What if you don't wear underpants?
God bless you. You should wear underpants with jeans.
I've gone jean commando a couple of times now, and I think it's actually very comfortable. Now, the moments when it's not, it falls off a steep cliff.
yeah. You're really playing
high risk, low reward.
What's the game with the knives in your fingers? Except it's your penis and a zipper.
Oh, I do it with a knife as well.
The knife finger game is actually named after the penis zipper game. It's funny you should bring up running tights. In this country, I basically don't have to wear them because it doesn't get that cold, and I'm the hottest, sweatiest man in the history of planet Earth.
You hot piece of ass.
Yeah, it's mostly the sweatiness. And so as a result, I no matter what I wear, boiling hot at the end of a run. Might have been Sunday or might have been 2 days. I don't know what day it was. It was a cold day, but I finished my run and I took off my shirt, as I pretty much always do, to let the sweat properly cool me by evaporating. And a woman in the park said, "You're so brave." And at first I thought, that bitch is calling me fat. Now I realize she
comes up proud.
She probably meant that it was cold.
Yeah.
But brave has become a euphemism for topless and fat. So and she wasn't, she seemed to be trying to be nice in saying it as well, which led me to be sure I was fat. It was you're so brave. Oh, I'm an inspiration.
Oh, that is so...
Oh, that's very good, man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for your loss.
What are you going to do? I did the crime. I'm going to have to do the time. You don't get to live your life like I do and not be a bit tubby.
It hasn't stopped you from achieving anything you've wanted to achieve.
It's true, and it's not...
You have to achieve those things, but that hasn't been...
That hasn't been what stopped. That hasn't been what stopped me. Because there are people who just, like, for metabolistic reasons or whatever, they're just going to be the size they're going to be. I know every little squeeze where that came from. There's no mystery to this. There was things I could have done to not be like this, and I didn't do them. So when someone calls you brave in the park, you just have to be like, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Here comes the story of the hurricane. Which is the song that plays in your head as you are called brave for being sure of this. So yes, on running tights, that's good. Now we are in something of a bind time wise, but there is time for ALB if there is any other B.
Some B.
Anyone got any other B? Any other ALB
in their bonnet?
No.
B in your bonnet.
Any other ALB?
Okay, this dead air is not getting edited out either. What do you think
super.
What do you think of the beers?
It's fine.
Yeah, hasn't really done anything to change first impressions. It's kind of just stayed as it was.
Mm.
It seems like a lager that they dropped some hops in accidentally and then had to be like, oh, it's either a really weird tasting lager or a very mild IPA. And they've called it an IPA. And I feel like, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's a drinking beer, you know? And I think it was on a 4 for 10 or a 4 for 12 or something. Hmm. I'm kind of inclined to be like, this kind of falls between two stools in that I've got a Moretti in the fridge that probably tastes as nice as this and it costs less, more readily available. You know, for me, this is kind of a failed experiment. I think it falls between styles. It's not giving me what I want from a nice crisp lager. It's not giving me what I want from a pale ale. It's not giving me what I want from a juicy IPA. It's not giving me what I want from like a any sort of Belgian beer I've tasted. It's falling between styles for me, and I'm going to give it a, like, but it's fine. It's a 6.
Disappointing without being actively bad. 6.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay. Any deviations from
that? I kind of just agree with everything Gav said. It's pretty spot on. Yeah, it's 6. It's pretty unremarkable. And yeah, like I said, if someone gave you a pint glass full of this and said, here, have this Heineken, or, you know, you'd believe them. You'd think that that's what you've been getting. Yeah. And I guess maybe if you were to compare the two, this would be slightly more flavorful, but in a blind test, I mean, I think 5.5 rather than 6, but yeah, I agree with all Gav's points.
5.5. Jimmy Moral Wide.
I think that, and this might be the hangover talking, it's just not nice in my mouth in a way that I need it to be. It's a little bit of that, like, I don't have the word, but it's like almost like a staleness that some people really like in their beer. It's very typical of an IPA. It's not for me. I'm going to, but it's still like, it's grand. I'm going to give this a 5.
5. 5, 5.5, and 6. It's a 5.5 overall. So that's it. Yeah, slightly better than a macro. Swing and a miss from 8 degrees, who are normally pretty on point.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're allowed a miss or two. Particularly, I suppose, when they are, it's, what are you going to release a series of, like, is there 10 of them? I don't know how many there is, but there's going to be a fail or two in there, probably.
Yeah.
And that's to be expected. Yeah.
Hey, they can't all be zingers.
Yeah, they do claim that they all are, though. I've been on their website.
That's right here on the cam. This one's a zinger, boy howdy.
This one, like all the others, is a zinger.
All zingers.
Because at 8 degrees, we believe they can all be zingers. It says it on the can, Jack.
Sorry, I'm wrong. Yeah.
So
I guess
we can hold
it
against them. They should all be zingers when they claim that. I'm actually fairly sure, though, that's only if it comes from the zinger region of France. Otherwise, it's
yeah. Oh no, this is in the zinger series. Yeah, yeah. It says right.
Otherwise, it's a sparkling Raz.
Yeah. Twitter got a hold of that joke and ruined it.
Manus, Fanta Wildberry.
I'll never get it again. But it is very tart, and it does appear to have actual fruit juice in it. I'll never get it again, though. The only thing is, it puts a slow on your roll. You have to drink it quite slowly because it's like, you know, which is the technical end. Again, buy a Coke if you're just going for a soft drink. I don't think there's any need for Fanta Wildberry.
Yeah. Not every day, but if you're looking for a soft drink.
No, yeah, not every day. Don't drink a Coke every day. It's not beer. You can't just have it all the time whenever you feel like it. Take it easy.
Take it easy, yeah.
Be grand.
And with that, leaves us with only one thing to choose to, and I think that's taking it easy.
Oh, no.
Taking it easy.
I'd love to lift up this can and cheers you, but I'm kind of taking it easy right now.
The Fine Ale Countdown was brought to you by James Belfast, Jack Toner, Gavin Carberry, and Manus Cronin.
Find us on social media at FAL Countdown, or contact us directly on finalcountdown@gmail.com.